here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls. We have with us on the line from Great Britain, from England, Mr. Edward Spalton, and we're going to be talking about the move to create the European Union, to take England into the European Union. With this will come the loss of English sovereignty. With this will come the loss of the freedom that the English people have had. And what you're seeing in England and in Europe today is simply foreshadowing of what's planned here for the United States as we join with the rest of the Western Hemisphere and we raise the living standards of the average American to that of the Bolivian peasant. And people say that could never happen here, and I would say, why not? It's happening in Europe, and the European people don't want it, and the people of England don't want it, but it really doesn't matter, because it's all being done perfectly legally through the electoral process. Mr. Spalton, thank you so very much for being with us. Mr. Spalton, you're there.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for being with us. Well, you know, we're simply giving the background of what's happening. Why don't you describe to our listeners what is taking place in Great Britain today and how they're getting this thing through, and yet there is so much opposition to it, but does it really matter what the British people feel or want?
Well, just let me tell you who I am. I'm 61, and I spent most of my life in the animal feed business, but for the last 14 years I've been studying this European project, and what the people think has very little to do with what happens. We joined this organization as a country in 1973.
Now you're talking about the British common market, of course.
Yes, we joined the European Union in 1973. The then Prime Minister, Mr. Edward Heath, assured us that no essential loss of sovereignty was involved. And we were told that it was mostly a common market.
Now, was he being honest with you, or was he intentionally deceiving the people because they didn't feel that they were worthy to know?
Well, he was lying his head off, to put it bluntly.
All right, fine. Well, I think that don't beat around the bush. Say it. The politicians lie, and the last thing they want is for the people to know the truth of what was going to happen in Europe, and that's the same thing as happening here.
Yes. Well, I've got in front of me at the moment some notes about a radio program that was broadcast about 4 years ago on what happened in the early 70s. And there was an organization called the European Movement, and it was funded very heavily by the CIA. And if anybody wants to check up on that, there's a Dr. Richard Aldrich on this program, a political historian, said he was absolutely astonished to discover that the library of Georgetown University in Washington had the entire archive of the CIA front organization, which documents from start to finish funneling millions of dollars into Europe, into Britain, with correspondence, for instance, from British Labour members of Parliament.
What was the name of the front organization, do you recall?
It was called the European Movement.
European Movement.
Yes.
Well, I think that what most Americans don't understand is the driving force to bring about this one world government has always come from the United States, and we finance this movement throughout the world, and I believe, of course, we've either replaced or eliminated the rulers who didn't want to go along with this.
Yes, I think the power of international corporations in particular and the people who profit from them is extremely great. My own researchers, because I was in the animal feed business, I was concerned with the European agricultural policy, which was came into force immediately we joined.
Hold that just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our guest this afternoon is Mr. Edward Spalton from England. He's been in the animal feed business for many years, but he is part of a group of people over in England today who are working against the European Union. And he was just saying that he has before him a paper, which, of course, goes into a group that was very involved in bringing about this whole idea of Europe. It was called the European Movement. It was actually a CIA front organization where they were pouring millions of dollars into England and into Europe, pushing this whole idea of uniting the European continent into this one government, one great government, and spending our money, says the papers at Georgetown University. Are those papers available, Mr. Spalton?
Dr. Aldrich, the researcher who was on this program, the historian, said he was astonished to find that the documentary evidence was freely available.
And would that have people have to go to Georgetown, or is it up on the internet? Or do
I assume they have to go to Georgetown.
All right, fine. Well, we can certainly find out about that. That's the European Movement back there. And, of course, is it still being active? Are we still funneling the money in, or have we just so close to actually...
I don't know about that, but the European Movement is still very active.
All right.
Because for many years, we were told that this organization was a common market, a trading arrangement, something after the order of NAFTA.
But, of course, NAFTA was always intended to bring about consolidation of the Western Hemisphere and a uniform government for the Western Hemisphere. But, of course, the American people don't realize that any more than, well, until recently, the people of England realized this was all about replacing your form of government with a government over which you'd have no control, almost like an authoritarian system beginning in Brussels. But England would have little or no control, and the average individual would lose all form of representative government. Isn't that what you're really concerned about?
Oh, that's absolutely right. The argument by the people who are in favor of this is, but we have influence in Europe. Instead of having power over our own government, we exchange it for an undefined influence over a government where we don't elect the people. Indeed, most of the more important people are not elected at all. We can't get rid of them.
And, of course, what this is a massive bureaucracy, a totalitarian bureaucracy, just like they had in the Soviet Union. We had Mr. Borkovsky the other day, who actually was a Russian, who lived under this tyrannical system. He sees the same thing happen to Europe. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, our guest this afternoon is Mr. Edward Spalton, who is with us from Great Britain today. We're talking about, of course, the move towards the European Common Market. And those of you who are listening earlier in the week, when we had Mr. Vladimir Bukovsky, I believe his name was. But anyway, he was talking about how, having lived in Russia, he could see the same thing happen in England. And, of course, what you do is you have these bureaucrats who control this whole system. Oh, you can have your representative government, but they don't care what your elected representatives say any more than the bureaucracy really cares what our elected representatives say in Washington, D.C. They have their own agenda, and anybody gets in their way, well, of course, they may have some very difficult problems, like, they might even be a president of the United States who didn't want to go along with the agenda and why he sent on a trip to Dallas. Could this sort of thing go on in the world? Well, we know that the CIA has had assassins who have killed world leaders. We know what they did to Patrice Lumumba. We know what they did to Trujillo in the Dominican Republic. We know what they did to Mr. Nu and Mr. Diem in Vietnam. This was all brought in congressional committees. The CIA says, oh, we're shucks, we're sorry, we're not going to do that anymore. Now they hire the mafia or other people to do this, and it's amazing how many world leaders just happen to meet accidents in airplanes or elsewhere. So, but pick up the story, Mr. Spalton. What are the English people doing? Are they concerned about what's happening? Does the average Englishman realize that something is seriously wrong?
Well, until very recently, it was difficult to get a hearing, but in the recent elections to the European Parliament, the United Kingdom Independence Party won 12 seats. And in my area of the country, they became first equal with the Conservatives. Now, it may sound rather odd that they're standing for election to the European Parliament, but small parties here have little chance in our parliamentary elections because they're on the first-past-the-post system, whereas in the European Parliament it's a system of proportional representation. So they have got a very effective platform now. And in fact, because we had a television celebrity who was one of the candidates in this area, the Independence Party was first equal with the Conservative Party in the number of votes cast.
And now, of course, so you, in England you have your Liberal Party, which is really a socialist party, but they call themselves the Liberals. You have your Conservative, and now you have this new party that you're part of. What percentage of the overall vote did you get in the last election as a new third party, really a relatively...
Well, in the European elections this time, I think they ended up average across the country about 16% of the vote.
That is amazing. Now, how are you getting the word out? Because you're certainly not going to get much of a fair shake from the local, from the television.
No, well, I think it's just that the message has started to get through. I should say I'm not a member of the UK Independence Party. I was, but for other reasons I decided to campaign on a non-party basis because it took collaboration between the big parties to get us into this mess, and I think it's going to take collaboration between the parties to get us out of it.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly agree with that, but I think it's exciting to realize that in England, this is happening. Now, we're not going to hear about this, because here in America, where you're told, you don't want to throw your vote away on a third party, you've got to vote for Tweedledum or Tweedledee or Amos or Andy or Laurel or Hardy, and it doesn't make a bit of difference, because both the Democrat leadership and the Republican leadership, both John Kerry and George Bush, are dedicated globalists. They're dedicated to the World Trade Organization. They're dedicated to the CAFTA, and the Free Trade Zone of the Americas, which is the first step towards happening here in the Western Hemisphere, what, of course, is happening in Europe today. So now, how are you getting the word out to people across Great Britain?
Well, we're fortunate that some of the newspapers have been taking up factual stories about Europe and about what the European Union is doing. One of the reasons why it has come to the fore just now is that they have published a European Constitution. Now, I have a printed copy of it with me now, and it's 325 sheets of paper.
Well, they make it so complicated that nobody can really understand what it's all about.
Unlike the American Constitution, this one is designed to empower the state and not to empower the people over the state.
Well, of course, at one time, this is... Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and what a privilege it is to have people like Mr. Spalton and the other people we've had talking about the European Union, and I think we're probably going to have enough guests that we can put together a four-tape set so you can begin to understand that this is exactly what's planned for America, the loss of all of our freedom, the loss of habeas corpus. It's already wiped out in the Patriot Act. And, of course, everybody's talking about all the wrong things and the wrong criticism. This has nothing to do with Islamic terrorism. Have you read the Patriot Act? You can get it up on the Internet. Or we have the whole 150 pages, not one word about Islamic terrorism. Half of it has to do with money, has to do with a control of the money, because that's after what it's all about. You control the money, you control the population, and of course it takes away the right of habeas corpus. It gives the government to come in, the right to come into your home without warrants. It gives them the right to check on all of your personal detail without a warrant. Why don't they want to get a warrant? Because no Gestapo ever wanted to be answerable to anybody else. There are people who really want a dictatorship in America. And if you have any questions about what this is about, you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And you can get it by itself or as part of the Brotherhood of Darkness special with the book and the video and the audio tape for $29.95 plus shipping. And, of course, here in California, we have to have a little something for the governor. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. If you don't have a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light, and here in California you can only get the Berkey Light with post fillers, you better get one because it looks very much like they're going to forcibly fluoridate all of our water. And, of course, once they do that, why, your brain, your mind, your body are really under attack. Would they do something poisonous for us? Sure. If anyone wants to see the letter that the head of the scientists of the EPA sent to Jeff Green, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. They don't want fluoridation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to our program, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And incidentally, we just opened, we're doing a program now in Detroit. Admittedly, it's at midnight, but at least they're there from midnight to 1, and hopefully we'll be on from 11 to 1 in Detroit, Michigan. But little bit by little bit, we're covering more and more of the country, bringing the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. Trying to get people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. The ultimate goal is a new world monetary system, a new world economic system, a new world order, and a new world religion. And of course, this will be headed by brutal, tyrannical forces, because this whole thing is the same spiritual forces that energized Adolf Hitler, that energized the Japanese during the same war, that energized the people in our government who prolonged that war intentionally and wouldn't even let the Japanese surrender. And if you doubt that that is true, we have the article I got from the Chicago Tribune personally pointing out that the Japanese had been trying for 6 months to surrender and we wouldn't let them. And the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and the invasion of Iwo Jima and of Okinawa, totally unnecessary. But you see, the evil ones wanted to kill as many as they could. They killed 60 million people in the Gulag in the Soviet Union. When was the last time you heard that mentioned? How could you suppress that information? Why, the evil people control the media. Operation Keelhaul was immediately after the Second World War, when we sent 6 million Russian citizens who were in the United States and England and Europe, and we forcibly sent them back to Russia to be killed. How could, that's known as Operation Keelhaul. How could you suppress something like that in America? Why, you control the media. We talk about the 6 million Jews who died in the Holocaust. What about the 12 million others who died in the concentration camps? You'll read about that in Norman Cohn's wonderful book, Warrant for Genocide. That's Warrant for Genocide by Professor Norman Cohn, a Jewish scholar. You'll never hear that talked about, on our controlled media. And what about the 60 to 80 million who died in the Chinese prison camps under Chairman Mao, this wonderful social experiment that we actually brought about here in China as we brought the Chinese communists to power? And if you don't think we brought them to power, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We quote from the government records, and if you want to see the government records, we'll send you the copies. That's called the McCarran Committee Report. Understand, we wouldn't allow the nationalist Chinese to have any weapons, and even when Congress appropriated the money for them, the State Department refused to send them because they wanted China to come to power, the communists to come to power. Why? Because we didn't want any competition, because America was to reign supreme and then bring the whole world into the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Monetary System. And this is where we're headed. And remember, this behind this are the dark demonic forces that dominate the earth today. What can you do? Well, you can get people to listen to our programs. You tell them about our website at radioliberty.com. Encourage them to join the Radio Liberty family. Encourage them to get others to understand the spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And then, of course, pray for America. And pray for our leaders. Pray for the average American to understand what indeed is going on today. And the great tragedy is the average American believes we have a two-party system. No, we have a one-party system with two branches, one of the Republicans and the other of the Democrats. But they're both heading exactly the same direction. Oh, of course, they have to pretend to be different. One's pro-choice, one's pro-life, one's pro-homosexuals, the other's pro-family values. And it's all a charade. I mean, all you need to do is look at some of the appointees that they're putting into the federal courts today, the Bush administration, pro-choice federal judges. Well, I thought the Republicans were going to solve our problems. 7 of the current Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republicans. Some of the worst Supreme Court justices we have were appointed by Republicans. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.